Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Philly, you are so wonderful and interesting. You deserve a local news podcast all your own.
Check out the JohnCast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with somebody that you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One.
My mentality is I want to do better and be better and grow and shoot for the stars. And I think that's even how I coach my team now is, you know, holding such high expectations for the group. I did that for myself. So even as I started to realize that potential, I wanted to set my sight on the greatest opportunity that I could find.
And our guest this week, Janelle Benner. She is the head field hockey coach at Division III Ursinus College, one of the top programs going. And Janelle, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks so much for having me.
I guess my first question is, after losing 2020 to COVID, just how, I would imagine, almost exhilarating was it to get back out there in 2021? I mean, let alone the success you had that we'll talk about, but just getting back into a season.
Yeah, it was definitely so rewarding to be able to come back and be out on the turf again with the team. They were so excited just for the opportunity to play. So it felt good to be back for sure.
How tough was 2020? I mean, obviously it was tough not competing, but just keeping the group connected, staying plugged in, you know, staying focused yourself with so many things going on in the world. I mean, how much of a challenge was it?
Right. Yeah, it was definitely challenging. I think one of the things that our team did a really great job of over that time is kind of rebranding ourselves, figuring out who we were, who we wanted to be, re-identifying what our core values are. So we tried to use that time really wisely instead of just sulking and being upset that we couldn't compete. We played as much as we could, but we had a lot of restrictions. So we spent a lot of time on figuring out what we wanted to do as we were returning to play.
So let's talk a little bit about the 2021 season. You guys get to the NCAA tournament when we talk about actually getting out there and competing. What were the keys to success? What allowed this group to reach the levels it did?
I think a couple things this year. We really started to focus on, as I was saying, we kind of revamped who we are, what our team culture was, how we were going to define who we were and what we wanted. So we really spent a lot of time in preseason and going into the early parts of the season, being intentional with those things. One of the elements was just being a little bit more fearless. And that whole concept of just getting outside your comfort zone, pushing beyond your limits, that fearlessness was really a huge key for us to get to where we finished this season in the NCAA tournament. We play in a very tough conference. So for us to be able to stay kind of true to ourselves through that whole season was really a challenge. But I think that that's what really helped us get through.
So let's talk a little bit about your story. I'm fascinated. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on, outstanding athlete in field hockey and also high-level musician playing the violin. Growing up, were they simultaneous interests? Did you start in music and then got drawn to athletics, but maintained? Kind of how did that come together? Because it's not often you'll see people maybe excel in one, dabble in the other, but to be at a high level at both is really something.
Yeah, I actually started with music. I was 3 years old and my mom got me involved in taking some violin lessons really, really early. So I didn't know any better. That was kind of what I was thrown into, but I definitely loved it and pursued it. And it stuck with me throughout all through college. As I was growing up too, my dad was huge in sports. So we started kind of from an early age too, just being involved in softball and lots of different things as I was younger. But I didn't really get into field hockey until middle school. So it feels like nowadays that feels really late to be starting. I guess when in my time, which doesn't feel like that long ago, but we really started closer to the kind of the middle school age, picking up that sport and really thriving in that area as well. But it was definitely challenging, especially at the college level, trying to really focus on high level hockey. I was at Division I program, so really intense with what that schedule looked like and having to balance that with my orchestra concerts and all of those different things. It was not a typical balance, I think, for my coach to have to handle and also my my director and the orchestra director as well.
Always the violin, or did you play a lot of different instruments kind of young and then kind of settled on the violin, or how did it, what was your story there?
Yeah, I started with the violin, as I had mentioned, at three. But then I also picked up the piano when I was little as well. I forget how old exactly I was when I picked up the piano. And then that was pretty much it until I got to the college level and I ended up majoring in music education. So with that major, you have to dabble in all of the instruments. So I was able to kind of pick up a lot of different instruments and found some new interest, nothing that really stuck. So it's really just the violin that stuck through that all.
So at that young age, as a playing music, playing the violin and then the piano, was it just lessons? Were you performing? I mean, obviously maybe school band, stuff like that, but were you performing on a bigger stage than most kids that are playing instruments that young?
Not really. I think we definitely did a ton of lessons. That was a weekly thing, like for my whole life. And we did have a focus on, performing in not just my lesson was able to, we got like groups together and were able to do some performing on weekends here and there, but it was not until really middle school, or I guess it was more so high school, that I was really engaged in the performance element. And that's when I started to be involved in an orchestra. But I guess through middle school and then into high school, I did like district orchestra and county orchestra, things like that. So I was performing kind of at a little bit of a higher level than, you know, some of the other kids that maybe weren't wanting to pursue music. So that was my major focus, I guess. And then I also did weddings. My sister also plays the violin or played the violin. So my sister and I got a little string quartet together when we were in high school and we were hired out to play at weddings. And it was a really cool thing as a high school student to be able to make some money that way too.
What kind of music did you focus on? I mean, play weddings, you know, there's obviously kind of a built-in thing what you're going to hear there, but what did you like to play or what do you like to play?
So growing up, it was almost always classical music. I into college, I got a little bit more expanded into different genres, but that was the main thing. And then I now get to play. I don't play as much as I'd like to, but I am involved on at least on weekends, occasionally at my church. I'm able to play on the worship band, and that's very different than the classical training that I got. That's a different feel, but I at least get to still play a little bit now. But yeah, that's one thing that I am very much into the field hockey world now as a full-time coach. So I wish I could pick up a little bit more music than I do.
So you say field hockey a little later than other sports. What was the introduction? Was it you just wanted to try it? Did you have friends playing it? Did it just look cool to try? Kind of how did you get your foot in the door with the sport overall?
Yeah. So I went to a very small middle school, and my cousin actually was the field hockey coach. So I think that was the interest that she pulled me along to, and my older sister too happened to also be playing field hockey. So I followed in their footsteps to try it, and I loved it. I absolutely fell in love with the sport. I played lots of different sports, especially in middle school. I played three sports. I was doing basketball and then softball as well. And then in high school, I ended up just kind of paring down to field hockey and basketball for the first couple of years, and then just field hockey for the last couple of years. So it definitely was my strongest interest once I was introduced to the sport.
What'd you love about it?
It's such a technical game, but you still have to be super thoughtful. I love the tactics of field hockey and how intentional you can be to just, figure out what the other team is doing. I don't know. I just love that element of the game and figuring out how to tactically beat the other team. But at the same time, it's a very difficult sport, I think, to pick up because it has a lot of techniques. You're not just running around, and I don't want to put down any other sport, of course, but with just stick and ball, hand-eye coordination, and then the athleticism and the tactical element of the game, there's just so many different elements that intrigued me and I really fell in love with.
You were obviously an athlete. Were you good at field hockey right away, or was there a little bit of a learning curve?
I picked it up pretty quickly. I definitely felt like it took me some time to settle into the sport, but I was a quick learner. I'll say it that way. I started actually because my cousin was the coach in middle school. I started a year earlier. She let me practice with the team when I was a fifth grader, instead of, you normally have to be in sixth grade. So I think that year was my learning curve. I was able to practice without that like element of performance or like being on game day. And then by the time I was in sixth grade, I felt like I had a pretty good handle on the sport.
You went to Lancaster Mennonite High School. Am I correct?
I did. Yes.
You grew up in like Lancaster area, Mount Joy.
Yep.
So you talked about kind of as you're going through and you're going through high school, you whittle down to two sports and then it becomes field hockey. Was there a moment in that progression when you start to think field hockey's got a chance to take me places? Like I can go and play this at a high level in college. Was that something that kind of you came to that, or does a coach or somebody in your family say, hey, you're really good at this. Have you thought about this? What was that like?
Yeah, I had a lot of awesome coaching mentors as I grew up through the high school experience. And then I just had some other coaches that I had gotten to know even through a club situation. And I think it was through them that I started to realize my potential in the sport. And I tried to remain I still do try to be a very humble person and not think, I can do this or go anywhere or do anything. But at the same time, like that's kind of my mentality is I want to do better and be better and grow and shoot for the stars. And I think that's even how I coach my team now is, holding such high expectations for the group. I did that for myself. So even as I started to realize that potential, I wanted to set my sight on, the greatest opportunity that I could find because I thought and had confidence that if with a lot of work and with some coaching that I could be successful. So, I think it was at the high school level, maybe junior year, that I started to realize, yeah, I think I want to do this in college and pursue some other career opportunities, perhaps in that as well.
Kind of take me through, you know, junior, senior year, you're playing field hockey at a high level, music at a high level, juggling studies, getting ready for college. What was kind of the average day like? Did you have a routine where you would fit in practicing the violin and practicing field hockey, let alone traveling for games, stuff like that? No, by the way, you know, homework and stuff like that. How challenging was all that?
Yeah, it was challenging at the high school level. And it only got, you know, way more scheduled at the collegiate level. I remember just feeling like I didn't have very much time off, very many breaks. And I really felt I was a good student. I really wanted to do well in the classroom. So I didn't want the homework to be the one thing that got put to the wayside because I was studying or because I was playing hockey or also playing the violin. So I think one of the things that I learned, and this was probably from a very early age, is to be very organized. And that organization and structure and just routine really helped me at my in my high school career, and then how and why I was successful, I think, at the collegiate career, because you got to be focused and you have to be organized and you have to be, in a good routine to get all of the things done.
I'm curious how high level athletics and high level music, do they complement each other in the way that it's kind of a different circle? So you get a release in a different way and it maybe helps prevent getting burnt out or tired of something, that you've constantly got something you love that you can recharge that's completely different than maybe what you had done the day before or earlier in the day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think burnout is a true, real thing. And I think that was one of the saving graces that I had in college specifically, that, you know, coming off of a really tough practice or a game or something and being able to go into the music studio and be in my own space and just play is a different feel and I had a different circle of friends, of course, in the music world than I did with my teammates and with the athletes. So I do think that was a really great balance just for my mental state to be able to have both options, different releases for stress or energy or whatever it is. So I enjoyed that.
We've mentioned, you talked in college, you went to Old Dominion, you play field hockey there. What sold you on Old Dominion? Were there other schools, or kind of once you got introduced to them, you know, it was going to be the path?
Yeah, I was looking at some other options. I really wanted to play at the highest level at whatever division that I felt like was a good fit for me. So I remember when I was visiting colleges, I went to, at the time, you know, your best Division III schools, your best Division II schools, and some of the top Division I schools that were interested also in me potentially. So I went to a couple different places, but as soon as I set foot on the campus at Old Dominion, I knew that was the place for me. I remember on my recruit visit, the coach had told me that, you know, I needed a lot of work. And I remember thinking, like, what a great thing to say to somebody like me, who, like, I would take that as a challenge. Like, okay, yeah, I'm in, and here we go. And I'm ready to try my best to be successful at this level. But I'm so glad that she took a chance on me, because I feel like that was the right fit for me.
What was the adjustment period to college field hockey like? Was it overwhelming at first, or did you pretty immediately feel like, well, I, you know, they say you need a lot of work. I think it's one thing the coach looking at you and you looking at yourself as far as how comfortable you are at that level. Speed of the game an issue at first? Like, what was, you know, those first few practices, that maybe that whole first semester like?
Right. Yeah. So there was a huge adjustment. Even just the speed of the game, as you mentioned, that The fact that I was playing at the high school level primarily on grass at the time and transitioning to AstroTurf surface, that is a totally different field hockey game just in and of itself. So I really had to work hard at that adjustment. One of the things just reflecting back on that time was I just remember wanting to come every day and give my very best. And I had high expectations for myself, but I was also remained humble in that with like, you know, I'm here, I've been given this opportunity. I'm just going to do my very best every day. So I tried to bring confidence, even though I was like learning and soaking in so much. And I remember telling my dad right before the first game, like, oh, don't worry. We were, I think, going into Michigan State or, you know, somewhere a little bit further along. And I was like, don't worry about coming. Like, I'm not going to play. Like, that's not. And I started that game. He was like, what are you talking about? You know, didn't even think that you were going to, you know, get an opportunity to play. And here I was, you know, kind of exceeding my own expectations, I guess, for my first year. So the transition was difficult, but I also felt like I was able to settle in relatively quickly and kind of find my stride.
I'm curious about the grass versus turf thing, because a lot of times it's the little things like that that you never, that aren't on the checklist when you're kind of putting things together. Did that really catch you by surprise how much different the game was? Had you had any, you know, maybe a one-off game in a tournament or something on turf, or was it completely like, whoa, this is different?
Yeah, I guess my only experience with a lot of or with turf was if I would go to a summer camp, and that summer camp was often at either college campus or some sort of turf opportunity. So I was able to get a feel for what that would look like or feel like, at least sprinkled throughout my high school career. So I knew what was coming. It was just I was not used to playing on that surface every single day. And the decisions that you have to make with the game and how quickly you have to make those decisions because the ball's flying by a lot quicker. So that was definitely something that I knew was going to be a challenge before I got there, but I, you know, had to figure it out really quickly once I did get there.
And I'm curious, what's the transition like musically?
Yeah. So actually, I did not think I was going to major in music when I went to Old Dominion. I started off in a psychology major, and I don't know if it was burnout from my just, I had played for so long, and I just didn't think that I wanted to do that with my, for a career. But then when I was at Old Dominion, I kept walking by the music building, and I just felt like that's where I should be. So I very quickly switched my major to music. And then the transition for that I felt was pretty smooth. Honestly, I definitely feel like I got very high level training right here in Lancaster County. I had an awesome private lesson teacher, and she really held all of her students to a very high standard. So I was used to kind of the very detailed instruction and that push. So I felt like that was a really good, easy transition to kind of what that felt like at the college level.
Did you have anyone along the way, because they're two different worlds and I'm sure they each want so much of your attention, kind of question, are you sure you're going to be able to keep doing this? You sure you want to keep doing this? And I don't even mean that in like a bad faith way, but just like, it's a lot. Like, did you have people have discussions like that with you?
Yes and no. I mean, I had those discussions, but I think that it was almost only after kind of I don't know how to phrase it. I guess just making sure that I was mentally able to handle it all. Because I think you're right. It is a lot. It's two different worlds that are trying to intersect a little bit. But I really felt like I was up for that challenge, and I enjoyed both things so much. It's like some of those athletes that come out of the high school experience and just can't choose one sport and decide to be a dual sport athlete in college. It felt like the same thing for me. Like I can't pick just one. Like I really need to work out how to balance those two things. But I do remember there were some very clear conflicts with my field hockey game schedule and an orchestra concert, and, you know, trying to get the two worlds to work together a little bit, was challenging. And it only happened thankfully once where we had a huge conflict and, we were able to work it out so I could still attend. Cause I ended up being the concert mistress of the orchestra. So I like couldn't miss the orchestra. It's not like am, you know, sitting in the back row, I need to be at the concert. And I also, of course, need to be at the game. So I was thankful that for the most part, it worked out.
Was it stressful? Because you care about both things so much and not wanting to give less to either. Like, you know, I'm the type of personality that I worry about everything, and I any little thing that goes wrong, I kind of internalize it and stuff like that. And I wonder, you know, trying to do that, you're so passionate about both really need you, but you can only be in one place at one time. Like, was it stressful?
I wouldn't say stressful. I definitely felt pulled at times, but I also felt like, because I was very, very committed to both programs, and they knew that, and I did everything I could to be the best that I could for each individual program. So I don't think anybody ever questioned my time commitment or my effort or my, my fit into those two different things. And because of that, I didn't feel like I was being told, like, oh, you need to spend more time practicing, you're not doing enough. Or on the hockey side of things, like, no, you need to come in for extra work because this is not, you're falling behind in this area. So I didn't feel like I was letting anybody down along the way, which maybe is why I didn't feel stressful. Just from a scheduling standpoint, that's the biggest thing, is just, I was always on the go, and my calendar looked ridiculous with, like, all of the things that I needed to accomplish in a day to just be able to fit it all in.
And you mentioned concert mistress. That was for the Old Dominion Symphony Orchestra. Yeah. What is that role, as opposed to just being a violin player?
Yeah, so I was the lead violinist. So I would, you know, stand up at the beginning and tune the orchestra. And then, you know, my section was following me and following my cues and my leads. So that was a different role, just to kind of be a leader in that way. And I really felt lucky to be able to be in that role, because that's definitely an honor to be selected for that.
Time for a break on One-on-One. We will have more with Ursinus College head field hockey coach Janelle Benner right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. Our guest this week is Janelle Benner, head field hockey coach at Division III Ursinus College. So let's pivot back to the Old Dominion field hockey career. You have a ton of success. I think you guys win 3 conference titles. You go to the NCAA tournament. You get to the Final Four twice. If I ask you about your favorite memories of playing field hockey at ODU, what's at the top of the list?
Oh, there are so many. I honestly, I loved the experience at the NCAA tournament, especially the Final Fours. Obviously, that's kind of the big goal for every team is to get to that final weekend and to be able to compete for the championship. So I was so fortunate to be able to do that twice, once my freshman year and then my senior year. So that felt really rewarding to be just a participant. And my senior year, I was a captain that year too. So like just being able to lead the team to that point was really, really rewarding. But I honestly, it was the day-to-day, it was the practices. I'm a practice person. I love coming to practice and learning. And again, that's like my mindset of like the growth that happens in a practice is just so fulfilling to me. So I loved those practice days where we were figuring things out, sweating together, really trying to work hard to be the very best that we could be.
I think you mentioned Final Four freshman, Final Four senior. Talk to me, do they hit differently? Like when you get that Final Four as a freshman, I would imagine, I mean, it's obviously joy and a feeling of accomplishment, but does it hit different as a young freshman as opposed to a seasoned senior?
Yeah, it does. I felt like my freshman year, I was doing my very best to be a good role player, part of the group, and you know, just do everything I can to help support this very seasoned and talented team. So it's kind of going along for the ride in a way, because there were so many talented players above me that were leading the charge. And then just from a senior year, it feels like this is it for me. Like when I put it all on the line, and not that I wouldn't have, you know, said that I gave everything I had my freshman year, but you know, it's a different feel as a leader, as a senior, that kind of seeing the growth of the team throughout the season and myself through 4 years. It definitely felt like I wouldn't say more of a weight, but also like I felt more responsibility, I guess, my senior year to pull the team along with me.
When does, and listening to you talk about your field hockey career and your role with the orchestra, leadership obviously is just kind of almost a natural thing for you. So was coaching always something that you kind of figured was going to be in on your path?
Yeah, I definitely always thought I would coach. I wouldn't have told you even in college that I thought I would coach collegiately, honestly. That kind of just happened. I just felt like I was going to be an orchestra director and coach high school field hockey. And that was my kind of my niche. And that's where I started. I did that right out of college. I did both of those things in Lancaster County. And I definitely loved it. But then when I got the opportunity to coach at the collegiate level, I signed up right away and said, yep, that looks really amazing. So I've been at Ursinus since.
I think, was it Mannheim Central where you started out?
Yeah.
Was it a similar, I would imagine not quite as intense juggling act as when you were in college, but coaching, you know, orchestra director, did you have to do kind of some of the similar things of piecing together practice times for both and making sure the schedules and give yourself enough time to get from A to B and stuff like that?
Yeah, I guess it was not as challenging because most of the orchestra responsibilities were within the school day. And then the most of the field hockey responsibilities were after the school day. So it flowed a little bit more organically, which was good. But there were definitely lots of weekend conflicts, things to work out because orchestra events and special things happen sometimes on Saturdays, as do some games. So there were some things that I had to juggle for sure to have both of those worlds. I think the biggest thing that was a challenge for me actually in that role was really feeling the weight of both programs because I was at the high school level. So I felt like feeder programs were my responsibility, even though I didn't have my hands directly in, you know, middle school field hockey or middle school orchestra, but like they have to be strong if I want a strong high school program. So I just felt like it was a lot, those two umbrellas of like big, you know, big systems that I need to be really thinking about the grassroots and how are we getting really good talent to get up to the high school level.
How did the, and I'll use coaching for both, you know, is it the same toolbox of skills you're using to coach and direct and, you know, funnel kids in the right direction? Or do you find yourself that you're utilizing different parts of what you know to how to motivate and all on the music side than you were on the athletic side?
That's a good question. I actually think it's a really similar set of skills. I really feel like why I was so successful as an athlete and as a musician myself is what is discipline and some of those just real basic things like commitment, discipline, work ethic. And those things go hand in hand when it comes to music or athletics. Like leading a group along, I need to be clear, be focused, have high expectations for my two groups and all of those different things as far as like my leadership style. I think I was the same type of leader for both groups. Now obviously there are different types of kids that are in those two different worlds. So kind of adapt with personalities and with their goals. But yeah, from a leadership standpoint, I was able to pull from a similar or the same toolbox.
So you said you wouldn't have imagined coaching collegiately. You start at Mannheim Central, you're there for a few seasons. And then I think 2010, the opportunity to come on staff as associate head coach, with Adersinus. How's that come together? You know, what's the chain of events that brings you to Collegeville?
Right. So our current athletic director at Ursinus, Laura Mulliken, was the field hockey coach before. Once I learned of the opportunity that job, she was transitioning from the head field hockey coach to her current role as an administrator. So once that position kind of became available, I was extremely interested because I knew the storied success at Ursinus and I could see myself coaching at the collegiate level. I just hadn't thought about it before. I guess when I was coming out of college, I just kind of assumed that I wanted to do both. I majored in music education, so it felt like that was what I should go do. But again, when I heard of the opportunity to be a full-time field hockey coach, I wanted to give that a go and see if that was something that I really wanted to do. And I've been super, super happy at Ursinus. It's such a great place to work. And it's just a really awesome opportunity to work with student athletes and be outside. I mean, I just love all elements of what that day-to-day looks like with my team and to play and coach and all of those different things. So I don't regret in any way kind of saying goodbye to the music element a little bit with that transition. Although I do wish I could play a little bit more than I do. But yeah, I think that's kind of how it all started.
So what is that year as associate head coach, like kind of knowing that transition is happening, you know, you're fulfilling roles, you know, in the moment, but also kind of everything with an eye to the future?
Right. Yeah. So that whole role was to help in the transition, knowing that I would be named the head coach the following year. So Laura did an awesome job of mentoring me that year and kind of handing things off and trusting me with a lot of things that probably felt, I don't know from her element how that felt, to give me some parts of the job to make sure that we were transitioning into the following year well. But I felt really, really lucky to just have her as my mentor. And I learned a ton that first year. She has built a great, great success. And so I wanted to just soak in everything I could with how she was approaching her coaching and how I was going to kind of implement my own coaching philosophy and my own style into the program that was already successful. So that year was really, really amazing, a great learning opportunity.
What was the biggest eye-opener to becoming a head coach at the college level? You had been a high-level college athlete, but as someone who has spent a lot of years working around college athletes, a lot of times they don't know how the sausage is made. They just get on the bus and think the food just shows up because that's how it works and stuff. I say it tongue in cheek, but really, like, what was the thing that you were kind of like, was there anything like, oh, wow, I didn't anticipate this was going to fall under my umbrella, but it makes sense that it does.
Yeah. Well, I knew this is the one thing that really, I think, was most challenging for me to adapt to is the whole world of recruiting, because that's just not something that you do at the high school level. And obviously high school coaches have a role in the recruiting process, but I just had no idea what, from a college coach perspective, what that looked like. And I had to work really hard at, you know, how is I going to approach that and make sure that I was bringing in high level athletes and building relationships with recruits, like from a freshman year and all of that. So it just was really eye-opening to me from the get-go with what that process looked like. Everything else I anticipated, I just didn't realize maybe the amount of time that it would take to facilitate the busing, the meals, and all of the different things of the program. But I at least like had that on my radar. but the recruiting element, I was not fully prepared for.
How long does it take to feel comfortable as the head coach? I would imagine that first year was huge in the transition, but just also kind of getting your feet on the ground with the campus and the kids and the program and all that. How much did that maybe accelerate the feeling of comfort your first full year as the head coach?
Yeah, it was tremendously helpful because I had, as an associate head coach, I was being mentored as I was also taking on some of those roles. But also the nice thing was the year that I was on my own as the head coach, I still had my mentors literally still on campus to help me through whatever it is that I felt like I was still needing some guidance with. So that transition went super smoothly. I definitely felt like, that I couldn't have asked for a better way to be introduced into kind of all that it takes to be a head coach. Definitely figuring out that first year as a head coach, I think the biggest transition or biggest struggle for me was to make it my own, especially because as I transitioned and kind of saw how it was done before, I can't be somebody else. I need to be myself and coach the way I know how to coach, but I also didn't want to lose traditions that the team really cared about and things like that. So that was a really important thing for me to be able to kind of figure out what I wanted to keep, what I needed to change, and kind of make my own.
When you think about your decade as head coach to this point, what are you most proud of?
Wow, what a good question. I think one of the things that I'm most proud of in the last 10 years is just year after year, seeing the growth for each particular team. I definitely have a reputation of having very high expectations for my group. And one of the things that we talked a lot about even this past year was how to not just reach for the expectations, but also not fear failure in the process. And I think that's one of the biggest joys of my job is to be able to mentor these young women into getting outside their comfort zone, being okay with failing and failing forward and failing big and just figuring out how to be better at whatever they're doing, both on the field or off the field. So I think just looking back and just kind of reflecting on each group and where we started and how far we came in just such a short amount of time in a fall season is really, really rewarding.
Have you changed as a coach over the years? You know, I mean, every coach changes year to year based on who's on the roster and stuff like that. But your approach, maybe how do you deal with the kids? You know, were you a little harsher as a younger coach or maybe the opposite? Have you changed?
I think I have. I think my first couple years, I was really intentional. I think because of my age, I felt a little bit closer in age, just coming off of, I was just at the high school level for 3 years. So I don't know what age that puts me, maybe 24, coming into a collegiate setting where I'm working with some players that might be 21. Because my age was young, I was younger, I felt like I put up some very intentional walls to maybe not, I wanted to be careful with those boundaries, with, you know, being a coach and not a friend and things like that. And what I've discovered is that some of those walls need to stay and did stay, and some needed to break down a little bit. Some of the things that I was not opening up with my team about or not kind of being a little bit more willing to be transparent in certain elements of, getting to know them further off the field and kind of really mentoring them outside of field hockey as well. So I think those are the things that changed the most, is kind of figuring out what that looks like as I got a little bit older and more experienced.
I'm curious, as you talk about being close in age, and I've talked to a lot of coaches like that, was there a moment when you realized you're not that close in age to them anymore? Because I know, like, working in a newsroom, I was one of the younger people in the KYW newsroom. And then I couldn't tell you specifically, but there's one day somebody was talking about a TV show and I just kind of turned around. Like, I have no idea what they're talking about. Did you have one or two of those moments where you were kind of like, oh, all right, it's kind of different now. I don't have to worry about that as much.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it's just every year, and it's been a few years too, that this has been happening. But when we do just little get to know you games or ways to split up the team, and I've done oldest to youngest or by birthdays or birth year. And it was one of those times where I'm like, they're giving me their birth year. And that's when I was like graduating high school. I'm like, what is happening? So I think that's when I started to realize, yep, there's quite a gap now. So I don't need to worry so much about feeling like that wall needs to be up as high as it was before, because I wanted to be intentional with boundaries.
You've had so much success at Ursinus. We talked about making the NCAA tournament this year. You've made multiple appearances. You've won multiple Centennial Conference championships. And as you said, the Centennial is a grind. It really is. National semifinals. I asked you what you're most proud of, but from a purely kind of maybe game memory or accomplishment memory, what's at the top of the list for your time at the Bears?
I think our two seasons that we went to the Final Four when I was the head coach are probably my most memorable. That first year was in 2011. We upset a couple teams to get to the Final Four. That was one of those journeys where we were exceeding some expectations even that we had for maybe ourselves and others probably had for us. But that was really exciting because we had some of those games where we were outshot quite a bit, but still walked away with the win. So that's one of those. Now it's gone the other way since. So I feel the pain for that from a different perspective. But the other year that we went to the Final Four in 2015, that was such a great year, just from a competition and success standpoint, when you're just, you know, looking at wins and losses. And our journey to the Final Four that year was very different than my other Final Four journey. We were beating teams to get to the Final Four a little bit more fluidly. And it just felt like this team they were super talented and had a lot of the elements, good leadership on the field and things like that, that we really need to be successful. So I think those are the 2 years and specifically the NCAA tournament building up to the Final Four. Those 2 years were really kind of top memories when it comes to competition.
And I'm curious, you're one of the few people, I think, that has competed in a Final Four as a player and coached in a Final Four. What is more satisfying, getting there as a player or getting there as a coach, or are they equally satisfying but in different ways?
They're equally satisfying in different ways. I think that as a player, there's so much that goes into that, just from, you know, field hockey is a player's game. So when you're out, when you're on game, when it's game day, it's really the players that are making things happen. Obviously they need good coaching to be able to get their structure and kind of their strategy and all of the skills build up to that point. But on the actual day of the game, that's, you know, the player, it's in the player's hands. And I say that because that's probably one of the things that I don't like about the coaching element is that I'm on the sideline and I can't do more on game day. I wish I could do more on game day as a coach. So I think that's why, you know, from a coaching standpoint, it's super satisfying to get to the Final Four, because I feel like, you know, I've done what I needed to do to build their success and give them the tools that they need, but them also like very proud of them because they are the ones that got themselves there. They're the ones that competed on those days that they needed to walk away with the win to be able to move on and to be able to get to the Final Four. So both are really rewarding for sure.
And my final question, to go back to your music background, what is your favorite piece to play? If you could only play one piece of music on the violin, what would it be?
Oh my, that's quite the question. Can I pick a composer and anything in that realm?
I'll allow it.
Okay. So I am a real big fan of Vivaldi. I don't know if you've ever heard of Vivaldi, but I think that there are so many different pieces that I've performed over the years, and I just, for some reason, really love that type of music. So that would be my pick, I guess.
Janelle Benner, thanks so much. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And that will do it for this week's episode. Want to thank Ursinus College head field hockey coach Janelle Benner for being our guest this week. If you like the show and you want to help us out, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave us a rating and a review. Now, you can follow the show on Twitter at @OneOnOnePod. You can follow me on Twitter as well at @MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to join us again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. Our guest this week is Janelle Benner, head field hockey coach at Division III Ursinus College. So let's pivot back to the Old Dominion field hockey career. You have a ton of success. I think you guys win 3 conference titles. You go to the NCAA tournament, you get to the Final Four twice. If I ask you about your favorite memories of playing field hockey at ODU, what's at the top of the list?
Oh, there are so many. I honestly, I loved the experience at the NCAA tournament, especially the Final Fours. Obviously, that's kind of the big goal for every team, is to get to that final weekend and to be able to compete for the championship. So I was so fortunate to be able to do that twice, once my freshman year and then my senior year. So that felt really rewarding to be just a participant. And my senior year, I was a captain that year too. So like just being able to lead the team to that point was really, really rewarding. But I honestly, it was the day-to-day, it was the practices. I'm a practice person. I love coming to practice and learning. And again, that's like my mindset of like the growth that happens in a practice is just so fulfilling to me. So I loved those practice days where we were figuring things out, sweating together, really trying to work hard to be the very best that we could be.
I think you mentioned Final Four freshman, Final Four senior. Talk to me, do they hit differently? Like when you get that Final Four as a freshman, I would imagine, I mean, it's obviously joy and a feeling of accomplishment, but does it hit different as a young freshman as opposed to a seasoned senior?
Yeah, it does. I felt like my freshman year, I was doing my very best to be a good role player, part of the group, and you know, just do everything I can to help support this very seasoned and talented team. So it's kind of going along for the ride in a way, because there were so many talented players above me that were leading the charge. And then just from a senior year, it feels like this is it for me. Like when I put it all on the line, and not that I wouldn't have, you know, said that I gave everything I had my freshman year, but you know, it's a different feel as a leader, as a senior, that kind of seeing the growth of the team throughout the season and myself through 4 years, it definitely felt like I wouldn't say more of a weight, but also like I felt more responsibility, I guess, my senior year to pull the team along with me.
When does, and listening to you talk about your field hockey career and your role with the orchestra, leadership obviously is just kind of a
almost a natural thing for you. So was coaching always something that you kind of figured was going to be in your, on your path?
Yeah, I definitely always thought I would coach. I wouldn't have told you even in college that I thought I would coach collegiately, honestly. That kind of just happened. I just felt like I was going to be an orchestra director and coach high school field hockey. And that was my kind of my niche. And that's where I started. I did that right out of college. I did both of those things in Lancaster County. And I definitely loved it. But then when I got the opportunity to coach at the collegiate level, I signed up right away and said, yep, that looks really amazing. So I've been at Ursinus since.
I think, was it Mannheim Central where you started out?
Yeah.
Was it a similar, I would imagine not quite as intense juggling act as when you were in college, but coaching, you know, orchestra director, did you have to do kind of some of the similar things of piecing together practice times for both and making sure the schedules and give yourself enough time to get from A to B and stuff like that?
Yeah, I guess it was not as challenging because most of the orchestra responsibilities were within the school day. And then the most of the field hockey responsibilities were after the school day. So it flowed a little bit more organically, which was good. But there were definitely lots of weekend conflicts, things to work out because orchestra events and special things happen sometimes on Saturdays, as do some games. So there were some things that I had to juggle for sure to have both of those worlds. I think the biggest thing that was a challenge for me actually in that role was really feeling the weight of both programs because I was at the high school level. So I felt like feeder programs were my responsibility, even though I didn't have my hands directly in, you know, middle school field hockey or middle school orchestra, but like they have to be strong if I want a strong high school program. So I just felt like it was a lot, those two umbrellas of like big, you know, big systems that I need to be really thinking about the grassroots and how are we getting really good talent to get up to the high school level.
How did the, and I'll use coaching for both, you know, is it the same toolbox of skills you're using to coach and direct and, you know, funnel kids in the right direction? Or do you find yourself that you're utilizing different parts of what you know to how to motivate and all on the music side than you were on the athletic side?
That's a good question. I actually think it's a really similar set of skills. I really feel like why I was so successful as an athlete and as a musician myself is discipline and some of those just real basic things like commitment, discipline, work ethic, and those things go in hand when it comes to music or athletics. So yeah, like leading a group along, I need to be clear, be focused, have high expectations for my two groups and all of those different things. As far as like my leadership style, I think I was the same type of leader for both groups. Now, obviously there are different types of kids that are in those two different worlds. So kind of adapt with personalities and with their goals. But yeah, from a leadership standpoint, I was able to pull from a similar or the same toolbox.
So you said you wouldn't have imagined coaching collegiately. You start at Mannheim Central, you're there for a few seasons. And then I think 2010, the opportunity to come on staff as associate head coach, with Ursinus. How's that come together? You know, what's the chain of events that brings you to Collegeville?
Right. So our current athletic director at Ursinus, Laura Mulliken, was the field hockey coach before. Once I learned of the opportunity that job, she was transitioning from the head field hockey coach to her current role as an administrator. So once that position kind of became available, I was extremely interested because I knew the storied success at Ursinus and I could see myself coaching at the collegiate level. I just hadn't thought about it before. I guess when I was coming out of college, I just kind of assumed that I wanted to do both. You know, I majored in music education, so it felt like that was what I should go do. But again, when I heard of the opportunity to be a full-time field hockey coach, I wanted to give that a go and see if that was something that I really wanted to do. And I've been super, super happy at Ursinus. It's such a great place to work. And it's just a really awesome opportunity to work with student athletes and be outside. I mean, I just love all elements of what that day-to-day looks like with my team, and to play and coach and all of those different things. So I don't regret in any way kind of saying goodbye to the music element a little bit with that transition. Although I do wish I could play a little bit more than I do. But yeah, I think that's kind of how it all started.
So what is that year as associate head coach like, kind of knowing that transition is happening? You know, you're fulfilling roles, you know, in the moment, but also kind of everything with an eye to the future.
Right. Yeah. So that whole role was to help in the transition, knowing that I would be named the head coach the following year. So Laura did an awesome job of mentoring me that year and kind of handing things off and trusting me with a lot of things that probably felt, I don't know from her element how that felt, to give me some parts of the job to make sure that we were transitioning into the following year well. But I felt really, really lucky to just have her as my mentor, and I learned a ton that first year. She has built a great success, and so I wanted to just soak in everything I could with how she was approaching her coaching and how I was going to kind of implement my own coaching philosophy and my own style into the program that was already successful. So that year was really, really amazing, a great learning opportunity.
What was the biggest eye-opener to becoming a head coach at the college level? You had been a high-level college athlete, but as someone who has spent a lot of years working around college athletes, a lot of times they don't know how the sausage is made. They just get on the bus and think the food just shows up because that's how it works and stuff. I say it tongue in cheek, but really, like, what was the thing that you were kind of like, was there anything like, oh wow, I didn't anticipate this was going to fall under my umbrella, but it makes sense that it does.
Yeah. Well, I knew this is the one thing that really, I think, was most challenging for me to adapt to is the whole world of recruiting, because that's just not something that you do at the high school level. And obviously high school coaches have a role in the recruiting process, but I just had no idea what, from a college coach perspective, what that looked like. And I had to work really hard at, you know, how is I going to approach that and make sure that I was bringing in high level athletes and building relationships with recruits, like from a freshman year and all of that. So it just was really eye opening to me from the get go with what that process looked like. Everything else I anticipated. I just didn't realize maybe the amount of time that it would take to facilitate the busing, the meals, and all of the different things of the program. But I at least like had that on my radar. but the recruiting element, I was not fully prepared for.
How long does it take to feel comfortable as the head coach? I would imagine that first year was huge in the transition, but just also kind of getting your feet on the ground with the campus and the kids and the program and all that. How much did that maybe accelerate the feeling of comfort your first full year as the head coach?
Yeah, it was tremendously helpful because I had, as an associate head coach, I was being mentored as I was also taking on some of those roles. But also the nice thing was the year that I was on my own as the head coach, I still had my mentors literally still on campus to help me through whatever it is that I felt like I was still needing some guidance with. So that transition went super smoothly. I definitely felt like yeah, that I couldn't have asked for a better way to be introduced into kind of all that it takes to be a head coach. Definitely figuring out that first year as a head coach, I think the biggest transition or biggest struggle for me was to make it my own, especially because every, you know, as I transitioned and kind of saw how it was done before, I can't be somebody else. I need to be myself and coach the way I know how to coach, but I also didn't want to lose traditions that the team really cared about and things like that. So that was a really important thing for me to be able to kind of figure out what was what I wanted to keep, what I needed to change, and kind of make my own.
When you think about your decade as head coach to this point, what are you most proud of?
Wow, what a good question. I think one of the things that I'm most proud of in the last 10 years is just year after year, seeing the growth for each particular team. I definitely have a reputation of having very high expectations for my group. And one of the things that we talked a lot about even this past year was how to not just reach for the expectations, but also not fear failure in the process. And I think that's one of the you know, biggest joys of my job is to be able to mentor these young women into getting outside their comfort zone, being okay with failing and failing forward and failing big and just figuring out how to be better at whatever they're doing, both on the field or off the field. So I think just looking back and just kind of reflecting on each group and where we started and how far we came in just such a short amount of time in a fall season is really, really rewarding.
Have you changed as a coach over the years? You know, I mean, every coach changes year to year based on who's on the roster and stuff like that. But your approach, maybe how you deal with the kids, you know, were you a little harsher as a younger coach or maybe the opposite? Have you changed?
I think I have. I think my first couple years, I was really intentional. I think because of my age, I felt a little bit closer in age, just coming off of, I was just at the high school level for 3 years. So I don't know what age that puts me, maybe 24, you know, coming into a collegiate setting where I'm working with some players that might be 21. Because my age was young, I was younger. I felt like I put up some very intentional walls to maybe not, you know, I wanted to be careful with those boundaries, with, you know, being a coach and not a friend and things like that. And what I've discovered is that some of those walls need to stay and did stay, and some needed to break down a little bit. Some of the things that I was not opening up with my team about or not kind of being a little bit more willing to be transparent in certain elements of, you know, getting to know them further off the field and kind of really mentoring them outside of field hockey as well. So I think those are the things that changed the most, is kind of figuring out what that looks like as I got a little bit older and more experienced.
I'm curious, as you talk about being close in age, and I've talked to a lot of coaches like that, was there a moment when you realized you're not that close in age to them anymore? Because I know, like, working in a newsroom, I was one of the younger people in the KYW newsroom. And then I couldn't tell you specifically, but there's one day somebody was talking about a TV show and I just kind of turned around, like, I have no idea what they're talking about. Did you have one or two of those moments where you were kind of like, oh, all right, it's kind of different now. I don't have to worry about that as much.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it's just every year, and it's been a few years too, that this has been happening. But when we do just little get to know you games or ways to split up the team, and you know, I've done, like, you know, oldest to youngest or by birthdays or birth year. And it was one of those times where I'm like, they're giving me their birth year. And that's when I was, like, graduating high school. I'm like, what is happening? So I think that's when I started to realize, yep, there's quite a gap now. So I don't need to worry so much about feeling like that, you know, that wall needs to be up as high as it was before, because I wanted to be intentional with boundaries.
You've had so much success at Ursinus. We talked about making the NCAA tournament this year. You've made multiple appearances. You've won multiple Centennial Conference championships. And as you said, the Centennial is a grind. It really is. National semifinals. What is your, I ask you what you're most proud of, but from a purely kind of maybe game memory or accomplishment memory, what's at the top of the list for your time at the Bears?
I think there are two seasons that we went to the Final Four when I was the head coach are probably my most memorable. That first year was in 2011. We upset a couple teams to get to the Final Four. That was one of those journeys where we were exceeding some expectations even that we had for maybe ourselves and others probably had for us. But that was really exciting because we had some of those games where we were outshot quite a bit, but still walked away with the win. So that's one of those. Now it's gone the other way since. So I feel the pain for that from a different perspective. But the other year that we went to the Final Four in 2015, that was such a great year, just from a competition and success standpoint, when you're just, you know, looking at wins and losses. And our journey to the Final Four that year was very different than my other Final Four journey. We were beating teams to get to the Final Four a little bit more fluidly. And it just felt like this team they were super talented and had a lot of the elements, good leadership on the field and things like that we really need to be successful. So I think those are the 2 years and specifically the NCAA tournament building up to the Final Four. Those 2 years were really kind of top memories when it comes to competition.
And I'm curious, you're one of the few people, I think, that has competed in a Final Four as a player and coached in a Final Four. What is more satisfying, getting there as a player or getting there as a coach, or are they equally satisfying but in different ways?
They're equally satisfying in different ways. I think that as a player, there's so much that goes into that just from, you know, field hockey is a player's game. So when you're out, when you're on game, when it's game day, it's really the players that are making things happen. Obviously they need good coaching to be able to get their structure and kind of their strategy and all of the skills build up to that point. But on the actual day of the game, that's, you know, the player, it's in the player's hands. And I say that because that's probably one of the things that I don't like about the coaching element is that I'm on the sideline and I can't do more on game day. I wish I could do more on game day as a coach. So I think that's why, you know, from a coaching standpoint, it's super satisfying to get to the Final Four because I feel like, you know, I've done what I needed to do to build their success and give them the tools that they need, but them also like very proud of them because they are the ones that got themselves there. They're the ones that competed on those days that they needed to walk away with the win to be able to move on and to be able to get to the Final Four. So yeah, both are really rewarding for sure.
And my final question, to go back to your music background, what is your favorite piece to play? If you could only play one piece of music on the violin, what would it be?
Oh, my. That's quite the question. Can I pick a composer and anything in that realm?
I'll allow it.
Okay. So I am a real big fan of Vivaldi. I don't know if you've ever heard of Vivaldi, but I think that there are so many different pieces that I've performed over the years, and I just, for some reason, really love that type of music. So that would be my pick, I guess.
Janelle Benner, thanks so much. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And that will do it for this week's episode. Want to thank Ursinus College head field hockey coach Janelle Benner for being our guest this week. If you like the show and you want to help us out, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave us a rating and a review. Now, you can follow the show on Twitter at @OneOnOnePod. You can follow me on Twitter as well at @MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to join us again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.